Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about having good relations with others. I stated that when we apply Christian teachings to our lives, we can influence our society in a positive way that will bring desperately needed civility to our culture. I truly believe that Christians can be a positive influence on our society as we implement biblical principles in our lives. The term socialization is often used to describe the ability to function well in our culture. If someone says, well, you need to be socialized or you need to have socialization in your life, they're describing you functioning well in a culture or a society. As parents, we are concerned that our children are socialized enough to function well in their culture. Whether that is at work, school, church, or the store, we want them to have the graces they need to function well in any social setting. We want to be able to see our kids function well and relate well to others in any social setting. We like it when people come up to us and say, your children are so well behaved, or your children really acted well in this situation. And I think this is a good thing, because I believe God is concerned with his children having the social graces they need to function well in a culture, so they can be a positive witness for his son, Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us as Christians to be able to function well in any social setting that we find ourselves in our culture, so that we can be a positive witness and influence on that culture. So the writer of Hebrews understands this. Today we are seeing a breakdown of Christian influence in our society because the Christian church has abandoned godly social graces and embraced the self-centered conduct of secular culture. When compassion and generosity are replaced with contempt and greed, when moral purity is replaced with endorsement of sexual immorality, the church loses the social graces God wants us to implement so we can be a positive witness for Christ in our culture. The writer of Hebrews is well aware of this fact as he writes to the church struggling in a culture dominated by carnal, secular thought. With the importance of proper socialization in mind, the writer instructs the church to implement social graces that will help them function well in their culture and help them have a positive impact for Christ on their society. So I want us to take a look at this passage and see three social graces that God wants us to have so we can function well in our culture. Let's take a look at this passage. Look at verse 1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Now, the first social grace I want us to understand is we can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of compassion around others. Let me repeat that. We can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of compassion around others. Now, Christian social graces must first and foremost be implemented among fellow believers. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6:10, "Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Why is this? Because we are in the same household of faith when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are in this family, then brotherly love is something that we should be sharing with one another. My granny used to say, "If you don't do for family, who will you do for?" If you don't do for family, who will you do for? And if we won't show love, brotherly love, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, well, who will we show compassion to? Who will we demonstrate the grace of compassion to, the social grace of compassion to? So this is why our writer first instructs us to have brotherly love. If we are going to have compassion for those in our culture, it must start with us showing compassion to fellow Christians. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 13, verse 35. It's also in our bulletin. John 13, 35. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he's talking to them about their influence in the world that they are in. And he says in verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see that? Jesus said we would have a positive impact on our culture by showing compassion towards one another, because it would show that he is our Lord. You see, that's where the impact for Christ comes. When we show compassion for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, the impact on our world is that they will know that Jesus is Lord. And then they will start showing the same kind of love and compassion to others. You see how that impact is there? When we show the social grace of compassion towards other Christians, we have a positive impact on our culture. It gives our culture an example of the way God wants all of us to interact and socialize with each other. You see, that's how Christianity can impact a society. Now, this passage gives us two examples of how we should apply the social grace of compassion to others. The first example is found in verse 2. Let's look at verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." Now, hospitality is what's being talked about here. Hospitality is a social grace that comes from compassion. We are encouraged to be hospitable to others because we may be helping God's messengers in the process. Now, this word for angels here, the literal meaning is messenger, and it applies to the messenger of God. Now, angels are messengers of God, but also people can be messengers of God. And I think this may be the application here. I think what was going on in the church at the time, where there were people like the Apostle Paul coming around, coming through the town and preaching the gospel, and they would need a place to stay in the process. And they would need somebody to be hospitable to them. And if they if Christians were being hospitable to strangers that came into town, they may be entertaining someone that is going to present the gospel, that is going to preach the gospel to someone else. So it's this idea that we can have a positive impact on our world for Christ by being hospitable, by being hospitable. You know, many people have had me in my home, not my home, have had me in their home that really didn't even know me. They knew that the preacher had said, hey, this guy's coming to town, and we're going to have him preach for us. But that's basically all they knew about me. But they were hospitable to me. They had me in their homes. They kept me and gave me food. And we fellowshiped together. And then I went on my way back to Rhode Island. But it's people like that that have made it possible for me and my wife to start this church, to plant a church here. Okay, you see how it all works? But hospitality is also something that should be a social grace that we use to influence our culture. Maybe your next door neighbor is going through a difficult time. Why don't you have them over the house for a dinner, for some fellowship? Maybe you watch a movie with them. You know, you're just trying to encourage them through your hospitality. That's showing compassion to them. And I think it's a wonderful way for us to impact our culture. Now, certainly, this is one of the benefits. We have a more hospitable culture. When we're hospitable, others say, hey, you know, that's a good thing to do. I think I'll be hospitable. And then we have a more hospitable culture. So let's be hospitable. Let's have people over our house to eat or watch a movie or fellowship. It is a great way to influence our culture. Another example of Christian compassion is acts of kindness towards those who are persecuted or victimized. Look at verse 3. It says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Now, we're to show acts of kindness to people in their sufferings, in their times of mistreatment. At the time of the writing of this passage of Scripture, Christians were being persecuted and victimized. And if they were vocal about their, especially if they were vocal about their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the word to remember here means much more than just sympathizing with the plight of these people. It means to help them in any way possible. To remember them is to help them. You know, we have a lot of people in our society that have been victims of certain circumstances, that they've been hurt by others. I think it's important that we show compassion to them, that we have the social grace to show compassion to them. We should be concerned about those who are persecuted and victimized. We should pray for the persecuted church. We should try to show acts of kindness to those who are victimized in our society. This kind of display of Christian love can make for a better culture for us to live. And I think if we would, as Christians, display compassion in these ways, our culture would be so much better. We would have a culture that has been influenced in a great way by Christian love. And I think we can still see this. I think if we will decide as Christians that we are going to have this positive impact by showing compassion to others, we can have an impact on the culture that we live in. Now look at verse 4 for a moment. It says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. My second point is this. We can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of chastity around others. We can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of chastity around others. Now, chastity is avoidance of sinful sexual behavior. Chastity is avoidance of sinful sexual behavior. Sexual immorality destroys the fabric of society. Understand that. Sexual immorality destroys the fabric of society. Only in the bonds of marriage is sexual intercourse permitted by God. When this law is violated, our culture suffers. You may think, well, no, not really. Yes, our culture suffers when this law is violated. Dr. A. Patrick Snyder did a statistical analysis of cohabitation in America. Based on the findings of a number of academic resources, here are some conclusions he draws. Relationships are unstable in cohabitation. 1/6 of cohabiting couples stay together for only 3 years. 1 in 10 survives 5 years or more. Cohabiting women often end up with the responsibilities of marriage, particularly when it comes to caring for the children, without the legal protection. Research shows they also contribute more than 70% of the relationship's income. So the women in these relationships really bear a big burden. Cohabitation brings a greater risk of sexually transmitted diseases because cohabitating men are 4 times more likely to be unfaithful than husbands. Poverty rates are higher among cohabitors. Those who share a home but never marry have 78% less wealth than those who are continuously married. Those who suffer most from cohabitation are the children. The poverty rate among children of cohabiting couples is 5-fold greater than the rate among children in married couple households. Children ages 12 to 17 with cohabiting parents are 6 times more likely to exhibit emotional and behavioral problems, and 122% more likely to be expelled from school. Yes, violation of this moral law of God does hurt our society. It does hurt our culture, and it is something that hurts those little ones in our culture. And I believe this is why the writer here makes it very clear that God will judge this kind of sin. And we must do everything we can as Christians to avoid this kind of behavior in our lives. Clearly, this study shows the damaging effects sexual immorality has on our society. What we need to understand as Christians is that sexual immorality in our culture, left unchecked by our moral influence, will degenerate into even more damage to the welfare of our society. And that is exactly what we are seeing today in our society. We are seeing people victimized by others who have no moral compass because sexual perversion has been promoted through multiple media sources in our society and has gone unchecked by Christian influence. This behavior has affected our society as a whole, including decent people. We have become overly sensitive to normal social contact. The Bible tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, this is a social practice in many cultures in our world today. When I go to Filippo's to get a pizza, and Mr. Filippo is there, who is from Greece, he comes up to me and he gives me a big hug and he kisses me on both cheeks. Now, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. But I understand this is normal social contact. I'm not going to join the hashtag MeToo movement because of this normal social contact. But we have gotten to the point in our society, because of the prevalence of sexual perversion, that some people would be offended by that kind of normal social contact. You see how it affects the whole society? You see how even decent people get messed up and out of whack because of this? That's why it's so important that we as Christians implement these principles of social graces in our lives, so that the society, the culture we live in, isn't so messed up that we can't even live in it anymore. We need to understand this. We are the key to a society. We are the salt and light of a society as Christians. And therefore, we must implement these social graces in our lives. Now, when we do this, when we have God's standards, and when we as Christians are God's standard bearers for godly sexual conduct, when we have God's standards of sexual conduct in our lives, it sets a standard and an understanding for those around us and prevents victimization and helps with oversensitivity of normal social contact at the same time. You see how Christian principle applies balance and structure to our society? That's what we need in our society. Now, when we do this, this is how the Christian social grace of chastity has a positive impact on our culture. You see how that is? I hope we understand that. Let's be chaste in our conduct towards others. Now, finally, in verses 5 and 6, let's read 5 and 6. It says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What man can do to me?'" Now, finally, we can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of contentment around others. We can have a positive impact for Christ on our culture when we exhibit the social grace of contentment around others. Greed or covetousness hurts our culture because financially vulnerable people are exploited by those who are never content with the portion of wealth that they have been given. Materialism is eating away at the potential generosity and positive impact the church could have on our culture. We have become so materialistic and so selfish and greedy, that we hoard our money instead of being generous with it so that we can have a positive impact on our culture. As Christians, we need a guiding principle to keep us from becoming entangled in greed and materialism. That principle is contentment. That principle is contentment. Contentment is being satisfied with what God has given you and knowing He will give you what you need. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." You see, Paul didn't have to speak about need. You want to know why? He had the one thing he needed. He had the one thing he needed. Everything else he really didn't need. He had a wonderful understanding of what his real need was, and he knew that need was completely met. His one need, and our one need, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, His grace and salvation in our lives is the one and only need that we have. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why He rose again. He did all that because He knew we all had one need. And that one need was to have our sins forgiven and to have peace with God so that we could have eternal life. That is our one need. And so when you realize that, when you realize that your one real need in life has been taken care of because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you can be content. You can be content no matter what happens in your life. You can be content because you have your one need met. And that's why Paul says this. When you have Jesus as your Savior, you will be able to rely on His promises and His provision and protection instead of a constant desire to obtain more wealth. He is our helper, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's our one need. Our one need is Jesus Christ, Him. And when we can say that to the world, when we can say that to the world, whether we are poor or we have vast wealth, well, we can have an impact on our culture. We can help develop a culture that is not based on greed, but generosity. We can have a culture that is based on helping others instead of manipulating them and taking advantage of them, exploiting them. That is how we as Christians can have a positive impact on our society. When we practice the social graces of compassion, chastity, and contentment, we can have a positive impact for Jesus Christ on our culture. So let's implement these social graces in our lives so that we can be that salt and light that Christ wants us to be.